You're listening to Messenger Insight, a news and information program brought to you by the Baptist Messenger and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma.
Hello and welcome to this special edition of Messenger Insight. For weeks, Oklahoma Baptist Disaster Relief volunteers have been working and ministering out in Colorado, New Mexico, and other parts of the West. And now tragedy has struck home as Oklahoma is burning wildfires across the state. Sam Porter, who is the BGCO's Disaster Relief Director, joins us in this edition of Messenger Insight. Sam, thank you for coming on.
Thanks for asking me.
Now, give us the latest. What is the progress report as of today, Wednesday, August 8th?
Well, the fire started Friday afternoon, and so whatever that is, we're in day five, I guess. And it has burned over 100,000 acres in Oklahoma. The two primary areas are west of Tulsa in Creek County, and then from Stillwater down to Noble, which is east of Oklahoma City, east of Norman, and east of Stillwater is basically where the main fire areas are. 100,000 acres is a very large area.
Wow.
The emergency management, they opened the highways yesterday in the burn area after they got finally under control in Creek County. It's still burning in Cleveland County, southeast of Norman. It keeps flaring up because they've not had significant rain there yet. And the truth of the matter is, we're still under a severe fire threat statewide. I mean, there could be another 100,000 acres burned before this is all over. I mean, just theoretically, there could be. We've had the emergency management is still trying to get a figure on the homes. They won't even make a prediction. But from what I've seen and heard and our people in the field, our assessors and our chaplains that have been out driving those back roads and talking to people and praying with people, I believe we're well over 300 homes in Oklahoma burned.
Oh, my.
And a large percentage of those people are without insurance. They just, for whatever reason, did not have home insurance. And it's going to be a devastating thing to them. Many of those homes are mobile homes, and a person, you know, they're less expensive, and they feel like, well, I don't need to insure this. A lot of those homes are older people, senior citizens, that have to decide whether they're going to buy medication or food or insurance. And, you know, because they're on fixed income, and they're old enough, they've had their homes paid for, and now they have a $100,000 pile of ashes instead of a home. And on a fixed income, Social Security limited, you know, funds. And it's going to be a devastating thing across our state.
It just breaks your heart to see images of these families whose lives are wiped out. And in times like these, and of course you've seen it all, disasters at home and abroad, what are the emotions like for the ordinary homeowner who has their belongings destroyed?
Well, I describe it as like being a death. The first person I talked to Saturday morning was a young lady and over in Luther, and she was standing there, and I could see that she was crying, so I pulled into the driveway, and, you know, the home totally gone, and a barn and a shed, and everything was burned. And I said, obviously, this is your home. And she goes, well, I live with my mother. And I said, how about your dad? She says, well, he died in this home last year. And she said, we have no insurance. And her mother was in California taking care of the girl's aunt, her mother's sister, who has terminal cancer. So it adds to, you know, just a double, you know, problem. And I said, well, I said, and I called her by name. I said, well, I told her who I was. I prayed with her. And then I said, now I want to share some things with you. I said, your dad died last year. She said, yes. I said, this home burning is going to be very much the same emotions as losing your father. She said, I already feel that. She said, I'm standing here looking at the home site. She said, he is a decorated veteran, and all the things that we had in our possessions, the things people treasure, are gone. And so she lost her dad last year. She lost her home this year. And then no funds to rebuild that home with her or her elderly mom. So those are the things people go through. And it really lingers on for years. It's very much like a death experience.
It's just tragic. And of course, we've seen the TV images and photos, but you've been on the ground and our volunteers since day one, really, helping first responders. What are some ways that Oklahoma Baptists have gotten involved in the Oklahoma wildfire relief?
Well, individually, you know, our chaplains were on the ground. I mean, they just kind of self-deploy. If they're in an area, they start going out. Paul Bettis, who is our state chaplain, he lives in Norman. He pastored in the he pastored Etowah Baptist Church, which is in the heart of the fire area. And he was out there. Of course, he's a chaplain for the Cleveland County Police Department or Sheriff's Department. And so he was able to have access. He was in there while things were burning, checking on people he knew that are dear friends and loved ones for him. And he's just driving and praying with them. Our chaplains all over have done that. We've been had chaplains on board. We had assessors in the next day. Our churches, I can't say enough for what our local Southern Baptist churches in the fire area have done. I mean,
amen.
You know, from Creek County, Cleveland County, up in there, Glencoe Baptist Church. These churches have opened their doors. They've turned their churches into thrift centers. I mean, it looks like, you know, a Goodwill center when you walk in a lot of these Baptist churches because people are just bringing goods in kind, we call them, which are clothing and, you know, pots and pans and furniture. And, I mean, the churches are saying, you bring it, we'll hold it until the people can use it. And so it's just incredible what you're seeing happen. But again, that's what happens when the words we use is we become the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. God's Spirit lives within us, and He drives us to be able to help another person when they're in need. And when they are, you know, a disaster is an event that happens in someone's life who cannot alleviate that problem by themselves. And so there's a major disaster in Oklahoma, and our churches, led by the Spirit of God in through every pastor's life, but every believer's life, because He lives in all of them, they are responding like, I mean, I'm just so thrilled to see that. I saw that all day yesterday, the day before. Ever since Saturday, I've been seeing it. You know, not just the disaster relief team, the churches, and that's the way it ought to be. The churches are doing what the church ought to be doing to meet their needs.
Well, that's so characteristic of who we are mm-hmm. as a people, Oklahoma Baptist. Time and time again, see disaster relief right. as a ministry, see a chance to share Christ, to meet a real need and share mm-hmm. the gospel. And yesterday, the BGCO's Executive Director, Treasurer Anthony Jordan, established the Oklahoma Wildfire Relief Fund, which there's information at bgco.org about how you personally can donate online or mail a check to the BGCO. All those monies will go to help out in this relief. Of course, the state missions offering supports our ongoing disaster relief here, abroad, and all parts of the world. But Sam, what are some ways that people could pray for you and pray for the people?
Number one, pray for wisdom. For me especially, I mean, that I have pastors and directors of missions and individuals pulling at me every direction. And there's not a lack of purpose and things to do, but I want to make the most significant hit every day. I want to be exactly where God wants me to be every day, and setting up where we set up for people to come sign up, and setting up for volunteer centers where we will house people and feed people. I want to make sure I'm in the strategic place we need to be. And but yet to not let anyone fall through the cracks. So pray that we have wisdom in where we place our volunteers and the place where people come for help. I would love to set up in every Baptist church in Oklahoma that's affected, but I can't because some of them, I mean, we need a large place to house. We may have between 75 and 100 volunteers on the ground that we're housing every day for the next month. You know, we'll rotate them every week. Some people work for a day or two, but just pray we have wisdom in that. Pray that volunteers will truly step up. I mean, our trained disaster volunteers, this is not easy work. I mean, it is hard, dusty, dirty, possibly dangerous work. I mean, you're walking into a home site that everything in that home has burned, and there's all kinds of possible toxic material in there. Not a lot, but sometimes there is. If a barn burnt and it's a farming situation, We don't know what all kind of chemicals are in there, but our guys are willing to do that. The best thing is that we have wind in Oklahoma, and it'll help air some of that out and really literally blow some of those fumes away before we actually get in there. But pray for their health and their protection. Pray that all of our equipment works. And also that we are able to, when we share, when we go into work with those people, we want to truly be God's hands, feet, and mouthpiece at that point in that family's life. Even if they're believers, we for sure want to do that. But if they're not believers, we want them to see Jesus in everything we do. The last 2 weeks in Colorado, we saw 7 people come know Jesus Christ because our volunteers were working in homes of people that didn't know the Lord. And it always happens in every disaster. People be working, and they're working under adverse conditions, and they're working hard. And the people will go, now, what are you guys getting paid for this? And every time they say, well, we're here as volunteers. We're not paid anything. And they always say something like, well, what would make you do that? Well, that's the opening when a person is able to say, because of the love of Jesus in my life. And then they're all trained. Everybody that we've trained, we tell them, you earn the right to share the gospel. And when that door opens, and you'll know when it opens, then share the gospel. And the last 2 weeks, we've had 7 people in Fort Collins accept Christ.
Amen.
And so I see this as a huge door of opportunity in Oklahoma to come along beside our Oklahoma churches in their communities. Because when we come in, I mean, I may bring people from Texas and Arkansas and Florida and say, okay, when you're here, but we're going to be working. They say, who are you with? Well, we're with Olive Baptist Church in Creek County, or we're with Manford First, or we're with Lakeside Baptist Church, or we're with Etowah or 12 Corners or McGuire, whichever the church may be that's closest to them. That's who we're working with that day. And it makes it personal. It makes it local. And that way, whenever they do lead somebody to Christ, then we let that local pastor know that, hey, you know, Brian Hobbs here accepted Christ today. Mm. And so that's really why the reason we do disaster relief. If we didn't do it, somebody else would. But we believe God has opened a door for us to raise up literally an army of people across the United States to work in disaster relief in order to share the gospel in a very unique way. And many people we see and work with will never walk in the door of a church before the disaster. But after the disaster, we see scores of people saved.
Amen. It's wonderful. It's a wonderful ministry. I want to encourage everyone listening to our voices to pray for these volunteers, for Sam Porter, BGCO's Disaster Relief Director, and to go online to bgco.org to find out about how you can stand with us. And just want to pray blessings on you, Sam. Thank you. You've sacrificed. You've sweat the whole deal. And just want to also mention you can go to okdisasterhelp.com to check out for frequent updates, because we'll be posting updates there as well as on Twitter and online. It's changing every moment, but you have a very good plan in place with the feeding operation, with the ash cleanup plan. And I think God will really be honored in the process. Sam, we will let you go. I know there's places to be, and we thank you for joining me on this edition of Messenger Insight.
Thank you for having us, Brian.
Blessings.
You have been listening to Messenger Insight, brought to you by the Cooperative Program and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. For more, find us in the iTunes Store or visit us at baptistmessenger.com.